Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered. We are your hosts, Kyle Lewis and Brad Burritt, as always. It's been a minute, right? Does kids still say that?
I tell you what, I was getting set up to do this today, and I'm like, seems like it's been a long time. We come out with episodes every single week, but it seems like a long, long time.
So. Well, a lot's happened, which is about the only thing we talked about before we, lots happened in a short amount of time, and a lot is about to happen in terms of, you know, draft, free agency, well, the cup being awarded first and foremost, but yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
It seems like it's taken forever to get to this draft.
It has. It's been really, really long. Really long, I find, too.
Why is that?
I think, among other things, I don't think anybody, this is going to sound derisive, so forgive me, but I don't think anybody particularly cares about the two teams in the cup final, even though it's been a fantastic cup final.
Yeah,
it's been on par with any that I think any of us have seen. Neither market is exciting for the people that listen to our show or to most hockey fans in general, unless you're into like the storyline of Mitch Marner, one season post Toronto, you know, potential Conn Smythe winner, breaking records, etc. You know, things of that nature. I mean, otherwise, I think it's kind of eh. It's not like it's a big market type cup final, but also it's summertime, and you always have like the weather's turned. You know, we're all just kind of in that holding pattern. I mean, and for especially fans like us, like we're excited for the draft because we're going to have a big draft as Flames fans, right? So
usually this time of the year, we're not really worried about the draft so much as we are this year. But yeah, it seems like it's dragging on. I've been super busy. I know you've been super busy. My son actually bought a house last week.
Cool. That's a hard thing to do in Canada right now.
He is a 20-year-old. I had a talk with him the other night. We sat down and we were eating together, and I said, Jagger, I said, you know, there isn't a lot of 20-year-old kids that have a job that's paying them enough, and if you've saved enough to be able to purchase a home at 20 years old, it's not a huge home. Dude. It's not a huge home, but it's actually very nice. It's crazy. I'm so proud of him. And last night was his first night on his own. I haven't heard from him today, so I'm assuming he made it to work and things are good. So that's all good. But a couple of finishing touches this weekend with some TVs getting hung. And what that means for the show, though, you know, it actually has some ramifications on the show. Since he moved out and took all of his stuff out of his room, I am turning that room into a new podcast studio.
Of course you are, because what else would you do with it, right? That's amazing. Yes. And to your son's credit, I bought my first home at 29 in a much easier economy, so that should help contextualize it. And I mean, everybody who listens to anything knows how difficult the housing crisis is in Canada and in the States and Australia. And so good for him. That's awesome. And good for you, because you're going to have a new studio to you know, listen to me rant and bitch and do things that I do.
I did it at 28, Kyle, similar to you. Yep. Yeah, in a much easier economy also. Yes. So I'm happy his money's going into an investment and not just into a rent. So yeah, all that is good. And I can't wait. I want to plug some money into the studio too. I you know how I am. I'm over the top on this. So
You're a gearhead, man. And I mean, that's why, you know, my sound is as good as it is relative. And you know, like that's one thing I found when I got into podcasting with you, it's like you really, there's certain shows I can't even listen to because the quality is not there, not because of the content, but because of the audio, you know?
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference.
And there is times I get done with our show and I'm like, oh, I should have tweaked this or I should have done this. And when you're doing it, you don't catch that. So it's too late at that point. But it's always been a goal of mine. And I know when we talked about doing this together, a goal of ours that the production quality audio and video is pretty important to both of us.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it goes a long ways. I mean, if anything, it bumps up the perceived value of our content subconsciously, perhaps. But
hopefully there's good value in content.
Oh, there absolutely is, but it just elevates it, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I'm going to commandeer this show.
You don't go for it.
And the only reason being, and for those of you who donated, thank you so much. But last weekend, of course, was the Heart and Stroke Foundation of New Brunswick charity tournament that I play in now. Well, it's been 2 years, but I'll be playing in it for as long as I'm physically able to play. And there's lots to share about that. So. I mean, if you like, Brad, I can jump right into it.
Go for it. I was excited that you got to do this last weekend, and it is for a great cause. And yes, again, everybody that donated, thank you. Just fun to hear your stories every year, and I'm looking forward to the lowdown this year. And fire away, Kyle.
So we broke another record, raised $1.3 million in change, which was fantastic. And, you know, for me and for listeners in the show, I mean, perhaps the coolest part was getting to play against, play with, and talk to a lot of ex-NHLers and a lot of ex-Flames. So I'm going to be kind of all over the place because there's a lot of memories to pack into the show. But once again, met with Darren McCarty, had a lengthy chat with him. He was actually on his way to the memorial for Claude Lemieux as soon as the tournament had ended. But Darren's a great guy. Had a good chat with him. Played against Trevor Kidd, which was really fun. Yeah, he played defense on the opposing team, which was cool. But, you know, I got frustrated over a missed scoring chance and smacked my stick off the glass, and he kind of had a chuckle, and we chatted a bit afterwards.
He was one of the first Brandon Wheat Kings that I was really excited about.
And he was a great guy, and I hope he comes back. He fit in really well. And that's the thing, like, this group over the years, there's a lot of returnees because they like coming to Moncton. They like the culture here. They like how laid back people are. So hopefully he decides to return. The guy that I was probably most excited to meet was Tony Amonte, who still was rocking his Flames socks and Flames pants. I got a cool picture with him. I got to chat with him a bit about his time in Calgary and just time in the league, right? And he was just a wonderful guy. I actually told him how I used the video of him on YouTube just dropping F-bombs constantly to relate to my sales team, because a lot of them were doing that today. They were all frustrated, all swearing. And Amonte was laughing his ass off at, you know, me using that video as a motivational tool, right? So I had a good chat with him, had a good chat with Curtis Glencross. Who else? Well, the biggest one for us was our draft pick, which was Brendan Morrison, which everybody remembers him as a Canuck, but you also need to remember that this guy played a big part with the Canucks, obviously. We played for the Flames, the Capitals, the Devils, the Blackhawks very briefly. Yep. It was successful everywhere. And he actually reminded me, and this is really cool, but he was put on a line with Tanguay and Iginla. And he had something like 25 points in 25 games up until he tore his ACL around Christmas time. He was on an absolute heater. They were fourth in the West. Like, you could just tell even to this day, it really bothered him, like, what happened that season, right? Because he became such an integral part. And the cool thing about him signing in Calgary was, if you remember, he was in training camp with the Canucks. And he told me, he said, I was kind of embarrassed because I was on a PTO and I wasn't that old and, you know, it shown well. The Canucks had told him they were going to sign him, and then Calgary had called and said, hey, if the Canucks don't sign you, we will. And then Mike Gillis at the time pulled the rug out from underneath him. And Morrison was not happy, because you got to remember, these guys are going to move their family, going to get their kids in school, all that stuff, right? So he wound up signing Calgary, had a really successful about season and a half there, minus the injury, of course. But he was a wonderful guy. I mean, we had a party animal last year in Zach Cassian, and this year Brendan Morrison was a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but really level-headed, told a lot of cool stories. Actually, I'll show you this. So we had the Vegas jerseys, right?
Which are ugly.
Yeah, they are, but this is cool. So I took 74, and they went with, like, it's called Desert, Desert Doug, right? So they're all taken from the movie The Hangover. Morrison actually signed the number 7 for me on my 74 jersey. So
cool.
He was fantastic. We actually traded a few texts since then, and hopeful to have him on the pod at some point. And Brendan also, he also runs a fishing channel because he's an avid fisherman.
Really?
Yeah, he actually had Mika Kiprusoff on an episode years and years ago. Just a super, super guy. For those who are interested in fishing or just Brendan Morrison in general, Real West Coast is his Instagram page. And I'd encourage you guys to check it out. It's pretty cool. So if you're into fishing or just curious what he's up to, by all means, give that a look.
Yeah.
So the big thing that happened on the weekend that everybody's been talking about on social media, on different podcasts, Jason York's podcast in particular covers this in detail, Brent Wallace. There was a fight between a buddy of mine, Matt Tall, and a referee that spilled into the arena off the ice. And then from what I understand from talking to Tully and a few others, like, the referee like ended up, you know, destroying a dressing room, took 4 police officers to arrest this guy. He just went totally loco. Took 4 police officers to arrest him. This all started because of a disagreement over a penalty wherein a player got hurt. And nobody was upset that there wasn't a penalty. They're upset that the player got hurt and the play wasn't blown dead, right?
And this was in the charity game.
This is a charity game, just to remind our listeners. This is a meaningless game where the NHLers or ex-NHLers are going about, you know, a tenth the speed they're capable of. Anyway, so the ref ends up getting arrested for destroying property and losing his mind and trying to assault this guy, and then kicks the window out of a cop car.
Perfect.
It was nuts. So Matthew Barnaby was tweeting about this. Matt Barnaby is a, you know, he's a big fan of Moncton in this tournament. He's here every year. Jason York and Brent Wallace, like I said, Jason York was also here. He saw the whole thing happen. It was nuts, and it kind of put our city on the map for all the wrong reasons. But and then if you can believe this, the next day there was a fight in the women's charity game.
Holy cow.
So it was crazy. I'd encourage you to listen to Yorkie's podcast to get his take on the whole thing, but it was wild. And then just a couple of quick anecdotes that were kind of funny. So the charity shootout, which I had to play in because I raised over $3,000, again, thank you everybody that contributed. The deal is you line up at the red line and you go in, you take a shot. And if you don't score, you get right the fuck off the ice, right through the doors, and you're gone. If you score, you go back to the line. First two guys missed, third guy scored. I think he tucked the five hole. Our team captain, actually, Sean Corey. I went in, saw top corners, going there the whole way, ripped it off the crossbar. I'm like, all right, well, fuck me. And right off the ice, I went. So that was the end of the weekend for me from a playing standpoint. But the funniest part was this ref who got arrested during the alumni game. So all the NHL guys are playing with all the team captains. The whole thing, there's an MC, right? And the MC was talking about the play. You know, Amonte passes it to Kidd or whatever. And then at one point he says, well, we'd like to thank our two referees for officiating today's game. Third referee couldn't make it. just this real awkward chuckle from the crowd. And anyways, it was a good time. All told, a fantastic time. Saw a lot of old friends, made a lot of new ones. Yeah, it was great.
Sounds like a good time. A little wild, but it sounds like a damn good time.
It was nuts. I mean, there's obviously a ton of drinking and a lot of cool hockey stories too. Do you know who Brendan Morrison said the most skilled player he ever played with was?
Pavel.
Actually, he didn't play with Pavel. Mr.
Oh, he would have been after Pavel. Yeah.
Alexander Semin.
Okay.
He said the problem was the guy didn't give a shit about hockey.
No, it was obvious too.
And it was. And that's why I don't feel like I'm sharing any trade secrets by saying that. But anyway, a lot of cool stories and just, again, you know, Brendan Morrison was just phenomenal. And yeah, like I say, there's a good chance we'll see him on the show here in the near future.
I look forward to it. I really do.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, and if anybody has any questions, I mean, feel free to tweet us or whatever. I'm happy to answer. I mean, it's just such a blur, right? But let's get into some other stuff.
Let's talk a little Flames. It will be fairly short because our next week we'll have a special episode, and then the following week we'll do a draft preview episode, and that's when we'll kind of dig into the draft and the players, the projected players we could be landing and all that. But let's talk about just like a hodgepodge of Flames summer news. I kind of started with something a couple weeks ago that came out. Ryan Pike reported it, and I thought of you right away. And that was the plan for two alternate jerseys in 2026-27. Looks like a red jersey with a yellow C and a Saddle Dome inspired details in yellow. Kind of a hometown remix. I pray they don't do goofy stuff like the NBA does or Major League Baseball. Yeah, but
fair.
We'll see where that goes. And then the second one is a red jersey. It's basically a 2004 throwback. They're going to be wearing that one with a black C. That we all remember from the finals as a third jersey. And I think that's going to make a lot of us old Flames fans real, real happy.
Yeah, and it's funny. The Black Sea, I mean, it's synonymous with the 2004 playoff run, of course, the first year it was introduced. But despite the lack of playoff success, there still was some, you know, beating the Canucks in 2015. Mm-hmm. They were wearing those jerseys or a variation of that jersey with the Black Sea. But anyway, enough time has passed that jersey is representative of an era of modest success, division titles, the old Northwest Division in 06 when Kiprusoff won the Vezina. It's a really, really cool jersey. I'm sad that Blasty is going to get relegated again. I've actually bought some more Blasty gear just to prepare myself for that inevitability, but it's cool.
You know, I like the 04 jerseys. I do. Being the traditionalist that I am, I never was a fan of having black in the color scheme of the Flames.
Right.
I just, I wasn't, I'm not, I just don't, I just, it came in because of a fad, and I don't like when teams add colors because of fads. And it is what it is, and it looks sharp, and it's going to be fun to see those jerseys. I am glad we're sticking with our regular classic flame jersey, I call it. But it is a time of some really, really good memories. And, you know, it's going to be, with it being the final year in the Saddle Dome, it's a pretty cool way to send it out.
It is. And actually, you reminded me as well, just to tie this into last weekend again, Brendan Morrison talked about his game six double overtime winner against the Flames in round one in 2004. And okay. It was funny to hear him say, because in that game, the Canucks were up 4-0, right? And he was talking about how, like, it was 4-1. We're like, we got this, no worries. And it's 4-2. It's like, yeah, whatever. There's not that much time left. And it's 4-3. And we're like, oh, shit. Then it's 4-4. And it's like, what the fuck? So, like, him going through his thought process at the time. But when he told the boys, like, how good it felt to score that goal. And he's lacing up his skates next to me in the locker room. I turned to him and said, I hated you so much for that. And he looked at my gear, like, all the Flame stuff. He's like, yeah, I can see why you did. But I did tell him, and I believe it to this day, as iconic as that run is, and I gave a shout out to Jeff Sanderson, who actually I believe owns a business with Brendan Morrison, but I said to Brendan, I'm like, you know, Sanderson did such a good job filling in for the suspended Todd Bertuzzi, but I believe to this day, if Bertuzzi had played that series, Calgary doesn't win it.
Yeah.
That was the best line in hockey. Yeah. And Naslund, Bertuzzi, and Morrison. You know, the Flames are a scrappy bunch. They may have pulled it off the back of Kiprusoff, the way they grinded out so many wins and a Gimlin and all that, but that was such a huge piece for that Canucks seems to be missing. And that run will always be, you know, son. And remember that jersey, the 04 throwback was only worn 04, okay, 03, 04, 05, 06 because of lockout, and 06, 07. Three seasons, that was it, and it was gone.
That is right.
And then they switched to the flags with the RBK, yeah.
You're right.
And it's so iconic, we often forget that, but you know, Roman Hamrlik wore it, Dion Phaneuf, Sean Donovan, of course, Andre Zuzan, Brian Boucher, Phil Sauvé, like a lot of weird names you don't, you know, associate with the Flames, right?
Yeah, it was, I had to bring that up, the jersey thing, just because.
I went way off topic, but that was fun. Thank you for
indulging. But it's important, though, like, that's the jerseys are so important to both of us. Like, we both are into collectibles and things like that. And we did a special episode last summer on the history of the Flames jerseys and stuff, and how they've changed a little bit, but then have kind of found their way back to the old heart and soul. And I've always, I'm as old school as they get, but I love it when teams like the Red Wings and Blackhawks don't deviate from their jerseys. And I think Calgary's done a pretty good job of not deviating also, but yet having some special things in there, which has been
cool. They've done a few things, like the script jersey was a hard departure. The Tigers jersey in the 2011 outdoor game, the reverse retro pedestal that I actually own one of.
And then there was we forget about the years of the regular regular pedestal jersey that,
Yeah.
There's been a lot. It's been cool.
They've generally been pretty, you know, true to who they are, but they've done some things that some people liked, and they're kind of called classics now. But I mean, I think it's safe to say that the 04 throwback is kind of fits into Flames lore now alongside the classic ones, right?
Yeah. Another bit of news from a couple weeks ago that I just wanted to get your opinion on, and not that it's huge news in Calgary or anything like that, but the Flames went out and signed a goaltender to a 3-year entry level deal, Kirill Zarubin. He's a third round pick in 2024 and has put up some spectacular numbers in Russia last season. With the Flames having, you know, Cooley and Wolf and Say, did this surprise you at all?
Not really, because I mean, Say is very much unproven at this point. Provstatov, is he a free agent this year? I think. Just gone. A one-year deal? Yeah,
he's gone to Russia, I believe.
Back to the KHL. Martin Frick also left, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, goaltending is a position you can never have enough depth at. I mean, look at, you know, a guy like Brandon Bussey, right, who's now playing in the Cup finals. I don't think Cooley's going to be around long term because he actually is projecting to potentially be a starter, and there's no way he supplants Wolf long term. But it makes sense. It's a sensible signing. It's not, you know, huge news, but I mean, we'll see what happens with him next. The big thing is now is to get him to North America to start playing his trade over here on the smaller ice surface and all that kind of stuff, right? So we'll see what happens with that.
So it's been quiet this summer, like really quiet as we wait for this long-awaited draft. But a couple things have popped up as far as, you know, potential Flames on the move. You know, rumors swirling about Blake Coleman, Olli Maatta, and Connor Zary being somewhat shopped.
Yep. I mean, Zary chief amongst them, I think. Wouldn't you agree?
I think it would be really good to move him. I honestly believe that if we make a deal that moves us up in the draft, which I think is highly unlikely, but even maybe that 30th moving up.
Yeah.
I got a feeling he's going to be part of that package. My gut tells me that.
Well, I think we've said, and we've likened him like to a poor man's version of Shane Wright in terms of a possible reclamation project. He's likely to find success elsewhere, but again, I think after a certain point, even though people will bemoan that success elsewhere if it happens and say, oh, like Calgary should have kept him or Calgary mismanaged him, you get to a point it's not going to happen here, right? I think we've always kind of agreed on that.
Yep.
I could see it happening finally in Calgary this season if he's not dealt, but with all the depth, you know, coming out through the organization, I don't see how he sticks around. But I do think, to your point, he'll be a part of some kind of a package because somebody's going to say, yeah, you know what, throw that guy in as a sweetener and we'll, you know, move down, you can move up or something like that.
Yeah. It's fun to think about these trades. And, you know, I see, you know, all kinds of different things about who else is going to be on the move. And you see Cooley's name out there and you see all kinds of different things. And it's fun to think about that. As much as I'd like to see Calgary move up, I think it's going to be pretty hard to move up. I do think maybe that moving up from that 30th pick is probably a lot more likely scenario.
It's significantly more likely. Yeah.
That packaging maybe with, you know, with a Cooley or which I would hate to see him go right now, but you know, Azari and the plethora of third or second round picks that this team has, you know, yeah, there could be something in the works there.
I think, yeah, and I agree with that. I can't see them move on from Cooley just yet because I think Wolf regressed a little last season, so that they're going to want to make sure he's, yeah, you know,
yeah,
get over the sophomore slump, so to speak. I think that would be their mindset.
Not a regression, though, that scares me, though.
No. It's pretty minor and it's pretty typical, right? I mean, the whole team regressed significantly, so, and with good reason when you look at, you know, how the season played out. Now, there's also rumors, I don't know if you've seen these as well, about Frost and Farabee being packaged out together.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think we just started to see maybe the Morgan Frost we want in the last 20 games. I think we got to see how that plays out. And quite honestly, I thought Joel Farabee was one of the key players for the Flames all year last year. So
he's fantastic.
I pegged him as my Blake Coleman replacement. So I think he fits into this future. And Morgan Frost just may too. So let's see what happens, right? Let's not get.
Wait, do we have to trade them together? Like, I know they're best friends, but it's almost like the Sedins here, right?
I hate that narrative. And you know what else I hate even more? I hate when I keep seeing this. Well, we need to finagle our draft picks so we get the Ruck twins. No, God, come on, guys. What are we doing? Like, we're going to give up assets so that we can get both of them? Like, let's just, how about we just pick the best player?
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening. But anyway, no. But up again, this is the other problem, that you get a little bit stir crazy, right? A little bit squirrely because you wait and wait and wait and wait for the draft weekend to finally get here. So we have all the time in the world to talk about potential scenarios, because unless you're talking about the cup final, there's nothing else to talk about in terms of hockey.
Oh, wait, there is. We got some things I got to get your opinion on.
Oh, some of these are going to be real brief if I have any idea what they are.
Before we talk about the finals, I got to get your opinion around the league here and just on some crazy, crazy stuff. I need to know your thoughts on Dylan Larkin asking for a trade.
Yes, I forgot about that, actually.
And then laying down that he's willing to be moved to three teams, and that is Minnesota, Vegas, and Florida. Okay, buddy.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Don't think so. I know what I would do if I was Steve Yzerman. I'd say, that's fine. We'll move you. You need to remove your no-trade clause to any team, and then I'll move you. If you do not do that, you're here for the next 5 years, and you're going to like it and smile and play hockey.
Is that how much term he has left?
I believe so, yes.
Holy shit. Okay. Well, okay, so I guess in good faith, I'm going to negotiate with those three teams, but say, here's the package. And it's going to be like a Joe Sakic, Matt Duchene type package, right?
You're not going to get that from those three teams. And second of all, those
then you're not moving.
Exactly. But those three teams have zero things in the cupboards. They have zero draft picks to move. And they have zero, they have zero flexibility on anything.
Are you starting to think like I am maybe that putting a team in Vegas is the worst thing the league could have possibly done? No, because that's where everybody just wants to go.
I think it's good because what it's doing is it's going to make the league better because it's going to push other general managers to be a little bit more gutsy. I believe that. Kyle, I believe it. I think it's going to make general managers, you can't afford to be complacent anymore as a general manager in this league. You got to act now.
Well, and the thing is too, like the GMs are all to blame for this. Dylan Larkin never should have had a contract structured that way, but neither should, 200 other players that have these deals that have it so they have their ownership groups or the GMs by the balls.
Yep.
So I don't, to your point, and I realize you're not going to get the best version of Dylan Larkin unless he is a true professional, which based on his handling of this, I'm not inclined to believe that he is. Sit there and play and shut up.
It's a brutal way to handle it, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, then, let's take this a step further. I can't remember if it was last night or today. Darnell Nurse has requested a trade out of Edmonton.
Did he really? I didn't even hear that.
Okay. First off, Darnell Nurse, there's 31 other teams that don't want you. You're quite possibly in the top three worst contracts in the National Hockey League.
I don't think that's even debatable. It absolutely is. I think he's the worst contract in the NHL.
So what are you? You're going to have to give assets to get rid of him. Literally.
He should, if he had any, I don't think he has any brains, but unless you're willing to restructure your contract a la Roman Turek and leave about $5 million on the table, nobody's touching you. Like you're going to have to basically void your own contract. Cause I didn't hear that. That's actually surprising, but that is so stupid.
Drop today. Let's talk about a couple other things and let's go through the coaches things. Manny Malhotra hired as the coach in Vancouver. The 23rd head coach in franchise history. I hate the Canucks. You know that.
I'm well aware.
I think this is a very good hire. A very good hire. I do.
I think my buddy Matt McCura, Canucks season ticket holder, is happy with it as well. It is a really smart move. He was a very reliable player. His son is extremely highly touted. I think I told you my scouting buddy said he's one of the players he's most excited about of any player he's ever seen. But there's so many structural foundational problems with the Canucks.
Yep.
It's going to take some time to turn that around. Yeah. But it's a good hire. And Adam Foote, I was not a fan of as a coach. So,
no. One interesting tidbit there is you mentioned his son, who I want Calgary to get, quite honestly. They're having internal team discussions whether to choose him in the draft. Mm-hmm. And they're also having family discussions on whether it is good for the family for him to be chosen by the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. LA Kings hire Peter Laviolette. And my first thought on this was? All I could think of was, hasn't he already been there once?
Yeah.
He's been everywhere. Like, hasn't he already been there?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, Peter Laviolette's a decorated coach. And, the NHL, they love to recycle people. So, and I already know where this is going. So keep talking, coaches.
Well, and then Edmonton, and
deep breaths.
I know we differ in opinion on this, just like I feel like Bill Peters shouldn't have been sent out to an island long far away. And Joel Quenneville shouldn't have been banished forever. And I don't know that
he wasn't, evidently, but yeah.
And I don't know that Mike Babcock should be banished forever. Now, if they did criminal acts, then for sure. What they did was not good, and I don't no way condone what Bill Peters did. I don't condone at all what Joel Quenneville did, and I surely don't condone the stories and the rumblings that we've heard over the years of Mike Babcock. But the fact that Edmonton is even considering this shows so much desperation from the organization.
Well, we can agree on that. I have no opinions about Babcock. It would be redundant, but yeah, I agree.
And I'm not saying that I think he should be hired. First off, here's my thing. Should the league and the PA banish him forever? No. Should a team in good moral standard hire him? No. It shouldn't even be a discussion, Kyle. That's my thing is.
Yeah.
Because what is he going to bring to the table in a positive frame that's going to help this team get over the hump? I don't see anything.
Well, let's be perfectly honest. And there's a lengthy Twitter thread, but I actually encourage people to read. I forget who posted it, but anyway, you could easily find it. Of all the transgressions of Mike Babcock's career, and they are plentiful. But let's just look at the hockey facts, just because otherwise we're going to be here all day, right? The reality is he was successful in Anaheim on the back of one of the greatest goaltending performances with the most oversized goaltending gear we've ever seen in J.S. Jaguar in 2003, right? Mm-hmm. We agree on that. Jaguar was phenomenal, but that stuff should not have been approved to wear, that equipment, anyway.
But I don't consider Babcock like a decorated quality coach. I think he was a good coach, and I think he was very successful in certain situations, but I can also find a lot of times he wasn't successful.
Well,
right?
this is what I'm getting at. So he rides Jaguar and Paul Kariya and some studs to a random super lucky cup final in an era where the Flames did the same thing the very next season and clutched and grabbed their way to the cup final. Good for them. They got away with it at a time when you could. Doesn't make it mean any less. Then he won one or two Stanley Cups on some stacked Detroit teams that were like Hall of Famers at every single position, right?
Oh, yeah.
Datsyuk, Yzerman, Shanahan. What were they called by then? Sorry, no. Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Lidstrom being the biggest name. Like, anybody, I think, could have won with those teams, right? Osgood was, you know, very, very good in those games as well. And then he goes to Toronto, where he's absolute dog shit for his entire tenure. Mm-hmm. Gets himself into more trouble, and that's the last we saw him, because then he went to Columbus and didn't even get to start. So again, leaving all the shit aside, and I hate Mike Babcock, and I've been very clear about that, and I'd say it to his face, but not the point. The point is, you are 100% correct. This is a desperate, desperate, desperate move trying to maximize the last year of Connor McDavid's tenure at Edmonton in all likelihood, and it's not going to change a damn thing.
I agree, and I think it may be the final like dagger in the Edmonton Oilers future. I do. I think it might be the final dagger.
I am inclined with this iteration of the Oilers, I'm inclined to agree. And hey, listen, they went to back-to-back cup finals, like, you know, achieved some measure of success during, you know, this last 6-7 years, but their window's closing and ours is opening, hopefully. So
okay, I want to talk Stanley Cup finals.
Yes.
This
Mitch Marner show.
This Stanley Cup final is two teams that like I really don't think either one of us care about.
Or anybody else for that matter. that's a little unfair, but you know what I'm saying.
But I'm going to tell you, like, I thought the Eastern and Western Conference Finals were the worst round of playoff hockey I've watched in decades. But yep. I think this Stanley Cup Final may be the best Stanley Cup Final that we've seen in decades. It's flat out bonkers. Like, I get a buddy that does quite a bit of sports betting. He's not a real hockey guy. And I have a lot of friends that do a lot of sports betting, and I did dabble with it myself. But I've gotten more texts this last week on, hey, what's your gut telling you on this tonight's game? And my gut is every night is, I don't know, flip a coin, man. Like, I don't know. I take the over.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's exciting. No,
it's nuts. I mean, it is very hard to predict. And despite how flawed the NHL playoff format is, in my opinion, you really did get the best of each conference at the end. I think Colorado was pretty banged up. I kind of expected that. I certainly expected more of a fight against Vegas than that, but it's been a great final.
It has. I'm still cheering for Vegas because that second rounder in the Anderson trade becomes a first rounder for the Flames, and I'm there, man. I feel like Vegas too is one of those teams. It's like, how long can they ride this train? Right? They're going to have ups and down years, and they're going to be kind of be like Toronto, where it's kind of like they fall off once in a while, and maybe that falls into the Flames' lap. I don't know.
Well, time will tell. But I mean, as much as I don't like the Knights as a team, like we need all the draft capital we can get. And
I don't like it either.
No. And also the ability to, you know, move up with said assets if the opportunity is there, as we previously discussed.
You know, Rasmus Anderson's been fun to watch in this playoffs, but boy, he struggled a bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big time.
Would you give him right now, if he came to the Flames and says, I want to sign 6 years at 8.5, would you give it to him?
Absolutely not. Not a chance in hell.
All right, I just wanted to check you out there, Kyle. Make sure.
I'm glad we live a country apart, because I can slap you silly for suggesting that.
I just wanted to make sure we're still thinking logically.
Hey, if you don't ask those fun questions to keep my toes, we don't have much of a show then, do we?
No, we don't. Ridiculous. Hey, you sent me a message a couple weeks ago, last week actually. Book coming out on Daryl Sutter called The Code of the West. I've already pre-ordered mine.
The Rank on the Ranch or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
On Lessons from the Ranch and the Rink. Yeah. And it's available October 13th. I can't wait for this book. I'm a Daryl Sutter fan. I love what he did with this organization. I love his style. We're similar in a lot of ways. I think, you can love him, you can hate him, but if you talk to most of the players that played with him or played for him, they love him.
A lot of them. Yeah. There's some exceptions to that, but I think in Calgary Flames lore, he's probably the most important coach we ever had. When you consider adjust for eras, right? Like those 80s, the cup winning team and the 86 finals team, the dismal 90s. I mean, Sutter made chicken salad out of chicken shit with the teams that he coached in some cases, especially 04.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating read. I think it's going to be similar in some ways to Mike Keenan's book, which also references Sutter quite frequently. But I think where any Flames fan anywhere needs to pick this up. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Yeah.
Any other NHL topics we need to cover?
Not for another week, really. I mean, once the cup finals concluded and we get geared up for the draft, because you never really am like, actually, it's one thing I hate. I hate when round two starts before round one is over.
I hate it.
Oh, it's brutal. But it's kind of like we're not really going to get into draft mode till the cup finals over, right?
That's such an NBA move, is it?
Yeah.
It's a good analogy. What? I got a buddy that one of the guys that works for me, and he's a top notch dude, and we've been working with him for about 10 years now, and he's a great guy, but he's a huge basketball fan. Dabbles a little bit with hockey, doesn't know much, but a big basketball fan. But we talk hockey and basketball, and I don't know shit about basketball, but we talk about sports every single day at work, and he brings up different things, and when he saw like the Dylan Larkin news and all these guys asking for trades, right? He said to me, he goes, do you think the NHL is kind of becoming like Major League Baseball in the NBA, where there's prima donnas that think they should be able to go wherever they want, whenever they want? And I'm like, shut up, Eric. I don't want to hear that. I love my league the way it was 5 years ago, and I don't want to have that. I don't want players being that way.
No, God, no. It's the last thing we need.
Yeah, it's crazy. Frig. A bit of sad news in Calgary since we last spoke. The passing of Cliff Fletcher was basically the architect of the 1980s and the Stanley Cup championship team in 1989. So a tough loss for the Calgary Flames organization.
Was he 92, I believe?
I believe so. 35 would make, something like that.
Yeah. Been around the block for sure. So yeah, it's a big loss for the Flames community. A life well lived and a very successful career. And that's a tough one for sure.
The NHL draft will be, it's not an in-person draft. It sucks. But it's in Buffalo, and the Friday night will be round one. That's going to be at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Of course, on Sportsnet, Saturdays will be the 27th, rounds 2 through 7. That's going to kick off at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Those are exciting days on the Flames calendar. Next week, you can join us on Flames Unfiltered. We got a special episode coming out next week. And then the following week, Kyle and I will do our draft preview episode, where we get to kind of dig into prospects. I think we both would admit we're not like big prospect guys, but I did pay a whole lot more attention this year, knowing that we were going to have a premium pick in this year's draft.
What I did as well, because we know it's a deep, deep draft, right?
Yeah. So we'll have a lot to talk about there. We'll give some insight on the players we would like to see the Flames draft or not draft, and kind of run through that. That'll be in 2 weeks' time, right before the draft. But the summer rolls on, and Flames Unfiltered continues to roll on.
Is that too deep? No. I'm still dry enough from last week on this. Anyway, glad to be back. Thanks everybody for listening as always, and we will catch you next week.
Sounds good. See you then.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Giroux and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.